Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by an old friend and comrade-at-arms, in fact, a man I consider to be one of our country's great freedom fighters. He is Dr. Charles Jacobs. These days he's the president and founder of Americans for Peace and Tolerance. He's also been a driving force behind any number of other estimable organizations, including the American Anti-Slavery Group, for which service he earned the Boston Freedom Award. He's also co-founded the David Project, a terrific organization that works on countering the ideological assault on Israel. He has been named by The Forward as one of America's top 50 Jewish leaders. He has contributed mightily through these various efforts in all the right places and some of the wrong ones, too. The New York Times comes to mind, to the public policy debate. He is also, his organization, Americans for Peace and Tolerance, has recently authored a terrific little pamphlet entitled The Case Against the Islamic Society of Boston. Charles Jacobs, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us, as always.
Thank you, Frank. It's always good to be with you.
I'm keen to get into some of the particulars of what you've developed in terms of the case against the Islamic Society of Boston, or ISB. But maybe if you just would sort of set the stage, Charles, the degree to which Boston has been cited as a sort of model city for what President Obama insists on calling his countering violent extremism program. Give us a sort of flavor of what's happening on the ground there in Boston in this space, and then the role that the ISB is playing in, well, I guess contributing to the problem rather than solving it.
Right. Well, Boston, of course, is the cradle of American liberty, and yet it has been penetrated by the Muslim Brotherhood in a very significant way. We have here the largest mosque on the eastern seaboard, I think even bigger than the one in New York City. It was founded by people who are in jail right now, a man named Alim Moody, who really is the poster boy for much of what is happening around the country, which is, I would call, deception. In fact, one of our researchers, Ilya Fekchistov, is writing a book about this, and he's calling it Masquerade. So Alim Moody comes to the Cambridge area in the 80s, and he sets up a small little mosque near Harvard and near MIT, and it's a Muslim Brotherhood mosque. And then about 10 years ago, the Saudis contributed millions and millions of dollars to construct an expansion mosque in Boston, in Roxbury, next to Northeastern, as I say, which is the largest mosque on the eastern seaboard. And on the board of this mosque sits Yusuf Karadawi, who any one of your listeners is three clicks away from hearing this man, who is the spiritual head of the Muslim Brotherhood, call for the death of every Jew on the planet, for the elimination of homosexuals, either by throwing them off the roof or by stoning them. That's the big internal debate in Islam, that which way you get rid of them. And when we called publicly for all of this to be investigated as they were building the mosque, we were sued by the mosque, and it's a famous law case, and the Boston Herald was sued, Steve Emerson was sued. The result of that suit was that they dropped it because they said we defamed them, and we didn't. But we got 40 boxes of discovery material, which we've been mining and sharing with the FBI and Homeland Security and Boston Police. Meanwhile, the ISB, the Islamic Society of Boston, has been a place where now 13 people associated with the ISB are either in jail for jihadist activities, terrorism, on the run, or dead, like the Tsarnaev, one of the Tsarnaev brothers. So Boston is the epicenter in many, many ways of the Islamist penetration, successful penetration into the social elites, into the communities of North America.
And again, we're talking with Dr. Charles Jacobs of Americans for Peace and Tolerance about his new publication, The Case Against the Islamic Society of Boston. Despite what you've said, Charles, the Muslim Brotherhood pedigree of this mosque, the direct involvement of 13 different prominent jihadists with it, this mosque was nonetheless cited by President Obama as one of his partners for this countering violent extremism program, and was to be showcased in the summit on countering violent extremism, or CVE, that he convened at the White House February a year ago. This seems to be a prime example of the sorts of influence operations that the Brotherhood has told us it will run against the United States government and civil society. This is, by the way, to be found in an explanatory memorandum, as it's called, a sort of secret plan introduced into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial. How do you explain the embrace by the president and by his administration of the ISB?
Well, now you've asked the question of questions, the mother of all questions. How do you explain the president? Well, I can say that on a local level, let's start at a local level, all politicians. So any American mayor right now, if asked by a Muslim group, no matter who, except if they were Daesh, probably, could you help us build a mosque? The mental set of postmodernism and political correctness would have him say, of course I will help you build a mosque, because otherwise it would mean that I would be racist, Islamophobic, and bigoted. It would be just like I didn't like black people. That's the problem. That's the elemental problem at the local level. And no matter how many times we have said the issue, the problem is the radicalization of the historically moderate Muslim population in New England, any criticism that we make of any segment of any Muslim population, or any criticism of the dysfunctional culture of certain elements of the Muslim population, we are shut out. We are cursed. We are put up against the wall. So this has been the huge, you know, this is cognitive warfare, and the other side is winning. Now, we went to the Boston Globe, which they just did a very, very they were lauded tremendously in this movie called Spotlight, where the Spotlight team of the Boston Globe went out and exposed the pedophile priest scandal, and they were brave to do it. We went to those same people, and we sat with them for an hour and a half, and we showed them documentation that the people who were running the largest mosque in New England were Muslim Brotherhood, who called for the death of Jews, who called for the stoning of Muslims, of homosexuals, who taught people how to beat their wives. And the Boston Globe shut it out because of political correctness. That is the big enemy of our time. That is our own West suicide belt. Now, the president, either he's a far-left college professor who wound up in the White House, or worse, it's staggering to think of what he is doing, inviting masses of Muslim immigrants to America, specifically targeting them to the Bible Belt, it would seem, to dilute, Republicanism and Christianity. It's just stunning. And, you know, people are hesitant to say what they actually think about this, as am I. But it's frightening.
It must be done. Freedom of speech is on the line, and your exercise of it, I have to say, Charles Jacobs, is both inspiring and absolutely necessary. And whether we call it political correctness or multiculturalism or diversity sensitivity or something else, let's be clear, the Brotherhood and other Sharia supremacists like them consider it to be submission. We engage in that at our extreme peril. We'll talk more about what's happening in Boston, the cradle of liberty, with Dr. Charles Jacobs of Americans for Peace and Tolerance, right after this.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.